North Rock Podcast.
Well, good morning, North Rock. How are we doing? Are we good? Everybody awake? You should be like, this is the 11 o'clock service, right? If we're still sleeping now, we're in trouble, aren't we? Hey, I just wanted to say how much I love being here with you. And then for those of you that were here last week, our founding pastor, Sam Rockwell, PhD, was here, and he shared a great Easter message. But he didn't just inspire me spiritually. Like, he inspired, like, my preaching game a little bit. Like he found a way that in his traditional Easter message to reference Beyonce and Taylor Swift and the Kardashians. In his Easter message. Like, that's incredible, right? And so I thought a challenge that we could take on together today is I'm going to try to link Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Marvel's superheroes, and Jesus together. You think we can pull it off? Well, that's what we're going to try to do as I talk about the grace that rescues, the longing for a champion. Let's pray and we'll dive in, okay? Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the honor that it is to sit at your feet. Lord, that sometimes as I get up here to preach your word, Lord, I recognize that we've already been having church. Lord, we're connecting, we're worshiping, we're hearing your word in these smaller sermonettes that are taking place beforehand. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would engage our lives, and that, Lord, most of all, as we sit here today, you would refill us, that you would fuel us, fuel our faith for the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I really do feel that way sometimes, like I'm waiting for my chance to get up on stage, and the worship team's going for it, and then Andrew's got a little sermonette, and then I'm like, man, we've already had church. Like, what am I going to say now, right? It's all been said. So today I wanted to start with a little bit of fun. In doing what we're going to call just like a basic game show guessing game. And I'm going to throw up a picture of a Marvel's movie that has come out in recent years. And then you just go ahead and feel free to engage. If you know which one it is, just say what it is, okay? So, Avengers. Yeah, there we go. Got some people. Any guess on how much money that movie made? A lot. That's a great answer, right? That's a safe answer. That's a great answer. But the actual answer is $207 million of people going and watching the Avengers, right? Let's throw up another one. Anybody recognize it? Black Panther, right? $200 million, and it just got released, what, you know, a couple of months ago, right? And then finally, the third one is different Avengers, right? The Age of Ultron, apparently. I totally stink at all these comic things, but so I just got to out myself. Like, I'm not one of those buffs. I know there are some here. And I'm sorry for offending you for not knowing, okay? But that one made $191 million. Now, here's the question. Here's the thing. Here's the observation that I have. The observation is that people think heroes are cool, superheroes especially, right? And the other thing that I would say is that people are looking for heroes in their life. They're looking for inspiration. They're looking for people that resemble and do things like the superheroes that they're watching at the movies. Now, here's the real mind-blowing part. You know those big numbers that I just told you, the hundreds of millions of dollars? Those were opening weekend box office gross sales. That's one weekend. One weekend. The top movie just cleared $1.5 billion. Billion with a B. Right? So again, that just reinforces that idea that everyone is looking for a hero in their lives, right? And no matter where you come from, most people like the idea of superheroes. Like, they make us feel happy, right? So I don't know what your favorite superhero was, but I want you to turn to somebody and I want you to tell them, who was your favorite superhero growing up, or who is your favorite superhero that we're going to the movies and still watching? Go ahead and tell them real quick. It's okay, you can talk in church when the pastor gives you permission, right? All right, now don't tell them the whole storyline. You can only pick one. You can't, like, tell them all of them that you've ever known, right? So mine, growing up, was the Incredible Hulk. Like, you guys remember him? It was Bruce Banner. That was close. It was Bruce Banner, and he was the guy that walked around everyday nice guy until somebody, like, gave him the business or somebody needed help, And then like his eyes would turn all red and then they'd turn green. And then all of a sudden Lou Ferrigno's physique would just go and like rip off all his clothes and he'd go stomping around. Oh, you guys know the Incredible Hulk, right? So that was mine when I was a kid. And if you're wondering, thinking, you know, that is a very cute kid right there. It's because that's actually me doing my very best, you know, Incredible Hulk impersonation right there, right? So that was back when I actually had hair. So it's just proof for those of you that are wondering. Yeah, it did at one time exist, okay? So this is the other part that I was thinking about. If everybody loves a hero, why don't we see more of them? Why don't we recognize heroic folks around us more often? Why isn't that more celebrated as a culture, given that we're out spending $1.5 billion watching Avengers around the world, right? And I started thinking about it, and I thought, you know what? The problem kind of occurs when it comes to this topic of heroes, when we convince ourselves that we don't need a hero. Can I talk to anybody today? Right, so think about like the old Superman shows, right? Where there'd be all this dark stuff that's going on, all these challenges that are happening. The villain is on the move, and like everything's just getting darker and darker and darker. And all of a sudden you'd hear that music, you know, as he did his little spinny thing inside of his phone booth, right? Bum-ba-dun, here comes Superman to the rescue, and he comes flying in, and he rescues the day, and then everybody just applauds as he flies right back out the same way he flew in, right? You guys remember those scenes? Well, I'd like to suggest today that sometimes, even when we come into contact with a hero, we can be susceptible to treating heroes like that. Like, they came in, they did their job, and then off they went and off we went. Does that make sense? So the problem, I think, occurs when we think of our faith and Jesus in particular as the hero of our faith. When we do that, we realize that we were once rescued, we needed this champion, but then we start to tell ourselves, like, okay, Jesus did his thing, now I've got this, right? Anybody? Or I'm strong enough now, I can do it on my own. Or I can hold it all together. Or I can do it, or I got this, or whatever it is. It's that temptation that we all face to forget or diminish or downplay or disregard what we were rescued from, right? And so to start my message today, all I want to say is we all need a hero. We all need a hero. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. No matter if you've known him for a long time or you're just getting to know Jesus, we all need a hero. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 says, his grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. You guys understand the switch that happens there? See, when I think of it, I want Jesus to come. You know, he's my hero. He rescues me from the situation. And then he makes me like the hero of the story from that point on, right? Amen. Right? It doesn't work that way in the kingdom, right? It's that we're going to continue to need our Superman in Jesus. And in fact, as we grow up physically, we become less and less dependent on those that take care of us, like our parents, right? But it's the inverse in our spiritual lives. The more mature we are, it's the more dependent that we are upon Jesus for the moment by moment by moment needs that we have. His grace is sufficient. His grace is all that we need. And he is the grace that rescues. Amen? So, all that to say, grace comes to the rescue. Not just once, not just for once for all, but once and again and again and again and again. You guys realize that it's your Father's pleasure in heaven to come to your rescue? That he never tires of it, that he never gets sick of it, like, oh boy, here we go again. So-and-so got in trouble. Here I got to put on my cape and I got to fly, you know, I got to fly and I got to do my thing, right? No, 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 no. He is happy to be the grace that rescues all the time. So we need superheroes. We also need real-life heroes, right? You guys know that this week we commemorated Dr. Martin Luther King's 50 years since his life was taken from him. And he was someone that knew a little bit about championing people, and many, many, many people would consider him a hero. I want to show you just a brief clip about his life introduced to us by none other than Kid President. Anybody know who Kid President is? All right, we're going to throw him up here for a minute, and then I'll be right back.
Once upon a time, there's a man named Martin Luther King Jr.
so well? Well, at one time, he was just a kid. Like, maybe you're a kid watching this. Well, he was a kid, too. Well, maybe you're a grown-up. That's okay, too. Grown-up kids are welcome here. I don't discriminate. Martin Luther King grew up to be a great man, of course. But thanks for all that great in the world while he was growing up. Not everybody was treated like they were somebody. And I believe that you should treat everybody like it's their birthday. But they didn't do that. People looked at the color of your skin. And that's how they decided if they were friends or not. Not cool, man. That didn't make him feel good. That didn't make anybody feel good. But his parents helped him grow up. He went to church. He learned about love. He grew up to be a minister to help a lot of people. He did all sorts of cool stuff. He helped a lot of people learn about love, too. But still, he looked around and said, things should be better. He wanted to change things, so he did stuff. He decided, instead of spreading the hate, he would spread the love. He wanted to bring people together. Where people were hurting, he stepped in to help. He marched with them. He walked with them. He walked arm in arm with everyone. Sometimes it didn't go well, but he kept going. Sometimes he ended up in prison, but he kept going. Some people didn't like him, but he kept going. Some days were hard, but he kept going. Love does that, it just keeps going, even when things are dark. And, well, I don't like this part of the story, but things did get pretty dark. Someone who didn't agree with him shot him. He died in April 1968. Now, kid president, why are you telling us this sad story? Come on! I know, look, I'm sorry, but it happened. I don't like that happened. Now, I gotta tell you something. When things aren't awesome, it can be tough. And things will always be awesome. But your response can be. Martin Luther King's response? It was awesome. Today I just wanted us to think about this. Isn't it cool that we can change things? Like any of us, anybody. He dreamed and he changed things. And he dreamed and he kept sharing his dreams. They became not just his dream, a lot of people's dream. Like this one. I have a dream that little black boys and black girls will join hands with white boys and white girls and become sister and brother.
Amen. Man. So it's not just our superheroes that exist in the movie. It's not just superheroes in Jesus as our hero, but it's also about people living as heroes in this world. And I love the way Kid President summarizes history, right? He did cool stuff. It was awesome, right? The things were hard, and he kept going. And things aren't always going to be great, but he kept going. Aren't those the people that are heroes in our lives? The ones that press through, persevere, and they come out on the other side having contributed something to life, right? So I think about Martin Luther King Jr., and he knew something about championing a people. And in a CBS interview that I watched this week with three of his now grown children, one of the sons said this. He said, "Dad was a doer and a dreamer," right? We spend so much time on the dream speech that he did. But he says he talked about what could become, but he left us a blueprint with his life. And to me, I thought that was a very important illustration of what it means to be here. Like, it's that we talk about it, but we're also being about it. Amen? So when it comes to being a follower of Jesus, we know that Jesus is a hero to a lot of people. A lot of people in our lives and a lot of people that are in this very room with us. And I just thought, you know, given that we're talking about the topic of heroes, that I need to give you a couple of my bias points in my heroes, okay? So the first is simply this, stated, you know, as clearly as I can say it, I believe that Jesus is the greatest champion to ever live, the greatest hero to ever step foot on this earth. Why? Well, for a lot of reasons, but I think one of them that stands out to me is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 14, where it says that this priest, Jesus, had offered one time for all sacrifices of sin, and he sat down at the right hand of God. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect those that are being made holy. Isn't that a good promise, church? See, I think about that first verse, verse 12, where it says, but when this priest, again, differentiating who Jesus is from the priests of that day, because the priests of that day were always having to come and make some form of sacrifice for the sins of the people that were there. And I think of Jesus, the way they're talking about him in kind of a one-punch knockout kind of an approach, right? That's what that statement sounds like to me. That this priest showed up, right? He offered for all times one sacrifice for all sins, and then he sat down at the right hand of God. It's one of those kind of just power moments, right, in history. Verse 14 is where I want us to kind of tune into, though, okay? Verse 14 says this. This is what that sacrifice did for people. It says, for by one sacrifice he made, what? Perfect. He made perfect forever those that are being made holy. Don't you love the language of that? That it's paired together. That there's a dynamic component in the end. And there's a completed state at the beginning, right? For by one sacrifice he made perfect forever those that are being made holy. So I love that verse because that is why Jesus is my hero. That he made perfect those that could not attain perfection on their own. Meaning me. Meaning us. Meaning everyone, right? That he's done that and that we are being made holy by his work in our life. So he is he's not only the greatest champion in my mind, but he's also my personal champion. Anybody else today? Right? That Jesus is our champion. He's not just the Savior that hung on the cross. He's our champion available to champion our causes here and now today in the world that we live in. You know, Isaiah 42 verse 13 says this, that the Lord will march out like a champion. Like a warrior, he's going to stir up his zeal, and with a shout, he's going to raise his battle cry, and he will triumph over his enemies. You know, sometimes when I watch the news, sometimes when I hear the things going on, sometimes when I recognize the strife that we actually see in humanity in these days, like sometimes it feels to me like the comic books I used to read. Like all this darkness is happening. And then all of a sudden, dun-da-da, superhero enters the fray, it all gets sorted out. And then, you know, they move on and things are better because of it, right? I kind of think about that with Jesus, that what we're talking about is the eternal nature and the temporal situation that we're in, the battle that goes on. Those two verses we just talked about really illustrate that point, that the war has been won, people, right? He is perfected for how long? He's perfected for how long? Forever, those that are being made holy. Right? So the war's been won, and yeah, on the outskirts, there's still these little battles that rage in the temporary season of us being here and working through the challenges of the fallen nature of our society. But Jesus isn't just the greatest champion. He's my personal champion, and he's going to sort it all out, right? So I thought that this would be an appropriate time in our series, in our message, and the season of our church for me to share just a snippet, just a snapshot of my own story, okay? So when I say that Jesus rescued me, I'm not joking, right? Because I know there's a lot of people that your only orientation to me is the guy that stands on the stage and, you know, he's our pastor and, you know, pastors must just have like some special hotline to God and, you know, their lives don't struggle like the rest of us, right? Like sometimes we can project that and go, yeah, they don't get it because they've never had to kind of walk through what I'm walking through in this season, right? Something like that. Well, so I'm going to take a couple of minutes. I've got a lot of people in this church that are always championing me and say, you need to tell them your story. You need to tell them your testimony. You need to, and I'm always like I only have so many minutes up here. And I want to talk about Jesus, not about me, right? So I thought today I could give you a snapshot of it. I struggle with talking about my personal journey prior to knowing Jesus for one reason only. It's because, one, I know everybody has their own stories. That we've all been rescued from stuff, that everybody has their own stories that they could be telling as well, and I don't think mine is any more spectacular than anybody else's. Two, I don't ever want to glorify or dignify some of the things that I did that Jesus had to rescue me out of. You know what I'm saying? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, so I've alluded to it several times in my preaching, having a really rough childhood. A lot of things that happened that were just terrible, bad stuff. I don't want to spend time on that today. I want to tell you the story of like age fifth grade through, you know, maybe a year out of high school, okay? So when I think of back now of that idea, that metaphor, the idea of the Incredible Hulk, I think part of why I related to that particular superhero, because like other ones had like X-ray vision. Why wouldn't you choose that guy, right? It was because the Incredible Hulk is kind of the life that I was living. Like on the outside, I looked like a fifth grade kid. On the inside, I had this rage that was building that I didn't know how to deal with, that I didn't have any male influence in my life to help me sort out and figure out appropriate ways of dealing with. And I was in such a bad place, even from such a young age, it's so hard to think back to fifth grade and go, wow, how could that even be? But in the fifth grade, I had the very first, I've had a lot of skirmishes, a lot of scraps. It was the first time that, what they coined and started calling the Carol face stomp showed itself. Meaning I was in a brawl, I was in a fight, and something inside me clicked, and I ended the fight by jumping up and down on the other participant's face over and over and over and over. Fifth grade. Okay, fast forward into junior high school kind of years, lots of fighting, lots of situations that I shouldn't be standing here except by the grace of God. The guys that I started hanging around with were given the name Psycho Ward. So that gives you another idea of where your pastor's headspace was, right? That we were referred to as the Psycho Ward. That eventually became, you know, kind of a little gang that carried on even after I'd moved out, gone on out of school. And the name that they attributed to me was Charles Manson Jr. So if you know who Charles Manson Jr. is, that's kind of the place that Jesus entered my life a few years later as the grace that rescues. And he pulled me up out of that, and he began to heal me and deliver me and strengthen me and help me deal with the anger and the rage and the hurt that I've been dealing with, to the point that I'm standing here on a stage talking to y'all about Jesus as my hero today, y'all. Yeah. Right? And so there's a lot that's in that, a lot that there could be said. But I just remember a friend of mine, probably about age 17, 18, I'd played ball with all through school, good friend, trusted brother. And he just looked at me one day, and like we never had those kind of talks. And he just said, Chad, I'm really afraid for you. I'm afraid you're going to be dead by 18 or you're going to have AIDS. So that gives you a little more insight to the many, many crazy, crazy, you know, lifestyle choices I was making. And I come to realize now that I was just trying to kill myself different ways than just doing it myself, okay? So my conversion snapshot story is this. I ended up going and becoming a bull rider. I was an iron worker out at DIA, so you can thank me for it being such a good, I think it was ranked like the number one. Yeah, you can't thank me. All I did was some iron working, right? But I broke my back doing that, and then I said, okay, hey, I've got a broken back. Why don't I become a bull rider and see how that sorts itself out, right? So that's the kind of logic that I was working with at that time. And so I kind of went down that road, and I remember still the day I got ready to go down to a jackpot rodeo that was being held out in Deer Trail, Colorado, threw my gear bag in the back of the truck, started driving out of town, and I passed a little church over on 112th and Irma, which was formerly known, the church that we're in right now, called Grace Church. And it was in this little prefabricated concrete building with like a purple roof and white. Like, it was definitely how nice that it looked that drew me to it, right? And I pulled in, I parked, I got out, I went inside, and I went to a service for the first time really in my entire life at age 21. So been around people, but nobody had ever had the courage to say, hey, Chad, you need to come meet Jesus, right? Let's go to church. And I walked into this church, and I heard the gospel message proclaimed for the first time, and it just triggered in me. And I didn't pray some eloquent prayer. I didn't cry at the altar. I just merely matter-of-factly said, God, if this is real, I'm coming for you. And so from that point on, I just tried to follow him, you know, with every decision as I knew. Stay as close. So this is what I know about the grace that rescues, is that the grace that rescues works best when we stay close to our champion. It's like I've tasted and I've seen who Jesus is, and I want to stay close to him. And what I can tell you today is I need him every bit as much today than I did back then. Like that moment of, wow, I can't believe that about our pastor. Oh my gosh. Scandalous. Right? That today, it's every bit as much. I still need him every day as my champion, my rescuer, my hero, my protector. So, I've told you about that because that's the illustration of grace showing up in my life And he shows up in all of our stories in all kinds of different ways. David knew something about this. In Psalm 34, verse 18, he says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted." So he rescues those whose spirits are crushed, right? He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Then again, he says in Psalm 55, verse 18, that Jesus, or the Lord, rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. So again, the promise is in the midst of the dark circumstances, in the midst of a broken heart, in the midst of a challenge where there's a lot of people opposing you. Anybody have a broken heart recently? Anybody have opposition rise up? It says that the Lord is close to you, he's with you, and that he rescues us unharmed from those situations. But here's the point that I want to end with today, guys. It's simply this, that Jesus doesn't simply rescue us from something. He rescues us for something. But that's a very important connection, right? Because otherwise we partake in the story of him, his salvation story over us, in the same way as the people in the comic books, where it's like, yay, Superman showed up, and now I'm back to just living my life, right? So he rescues us from something, but he rescues us for something. What's that something? The something is that Jesus is not both a hero, but he's also a hero maker. That Jesus, being heroic by going to that cross in Luke 22, 42, saying, "Not my will, but your will be done," shows us the two sides of the grace coin. He saves us out of our mess. He offers his life for our life as a transaction, and he gives us his life to live out from that point on. That it's staying close to him that releases the resources that we need to be heroic people. How many of you guys know that the church needs to stand up and be heroic in today's times? Heroic. I know you people, we're all humble folks. We're not going to be like, "Oh, I'm a hero, dun-da-da." And thank you for not wearing your capes in today. Right? I don't want to pastor a church where a bunch of people run around in capes. Just saying. But because of our association with Jesus, the champion, Jesus, the hero, Jesus, the rescuer, Jesus, the one who brings grace, we're like junior league, junior Jesuses. That's kind of weird. Don't go too far with the theology of that, but it could work out. So what do I mean by that? First, I want to just point you towards a resource. If you're saying, "Yeah, I want to learn how, I want to walk out, I want to be grace to other people," because that's what the music's been about. That's what the story's been about, right? Is that Jesus leaves those that he's already gathered to go after the what? The one, right? But once he gathers that one, the one then becomes part of the 100, right? And then it's that group going back out for the next one. But there's a great book Dave Ferguson wrote. His name is Dave. It's not Bruce. It's Dave. First service I called Lou Ferrigno's character Dave. So it's Lou. It's Dave Ferguson. He wrote the book Hero Maker. And it's a great book about five shifts that we can make to not just be being those that have been rescued, but also those who are on mission rescuing others, okay? But in being interviewed about the book that he wrote, he said this. He said, "Jesus told his followers in very simple terms, seek first the kingdom of God. They followed that admonition, and all that mattered was that God was keeping track of how Jesus' mission was advancing in the world." You and I are part of that mission that's bigger than what we can accomplish by ourselves, no matter how gifted we might be. As each of us contributes to God's team, it's a win for the kingdom of God as more people are added, regardless of which local congregation they land in. So finally, I want to end today with this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, if you have them. It's the verse I think ties Jesus not only being a hero, Jesus not only making heroes out of us, but also that he makes hero makers out of us. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. It simply says this, that he died, Jesus died, for everyone. You've got to catch that. For everyone, so that those who receive the new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died for them and who was raised again for them, right? So the secret is simple. The secret sauce for the family of rescued rescuers that Jesus says that we are as his church is that we begin to do exactly that. We begin to think more about the kingdom of God than of our own personal circumstances, our own selves, right? We want to continue to be a church that makes heroes, that be people that are dreamers and doers, not just dreamers. We want to be those whose legacy would be one of growing and gathering and growing and going on this mission that Jesus has called us to. So, with that being said, we want to be those people, so not just so that our lives can look better, not just so that we can have all the perks that Jesus affords us, but so that dead people would become alive. Amen? That's what Jesus did at Easter. That's what we do as an extension of his grace community in the world. So I wanted to end service a little differently than we normally do today. And that's first, I want to show you just one quick excerpt of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. I think there's a great piece in there that relates to this whole idea of, Lord, how do we become heroes or heroic when we don't really resemble or feel like heroes at times? And so we're going to show you that, and then while that happens, the worship team's going to come back up. We're going to sing one more song in response. But what I'd like you to do is take some time and just pray over a couple things. One, that we would recognize that Jesus has rescued us once and for all. Two, that each of us has a one, right? And it's just not just a moving song that we sing, but God has given us favor and grace and a care and a heart for people that other people don't see. And so I'd like you to just pray about that. And then as an expression of if God's given you a word for that, or he's given you somebody that you're thinking of, or you're just saying, I want to be a part of this grace mission going into the future at North Rock Church, we're going to take that board that we've had it's a poster board that's our graphic for this series. And it has kind of all those little, looks like honeycomb behind the grace. You guys know that graphic that I'm talking about, right? We've asked people to fill those in to say, I believe that God's calling me to go after the one as part of his grace ministry, okay, here at North Rock. So I'm going to bring that up. So again, the idea is we're going to watch this video. Worship team's going to come up. We're going to worship while we're worshiping. If the Lord's spoken something to your heart about how he wants to move you out as his heroes in this world, or just the one person that he might be putting on your heart right now, that you come up, you fill in one of these dots for us, and we go from there, okay? Is that good? We all right? We understood? We got the instructions? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that you are the God that chases us down. Lord, that even when we accept your free grace and then we go build a wall or we climb a mountain or we try to move away from you, Lord, you're always pursuing us. Lord, that's the posture of your heart. And more, we want to be a church that's the posture of our heart. Help us to see the one and to give our lives for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.